You may be seated if you would turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5, my subject, the pathway to miracles. It seems that everywhere we look that people are hurting. Many of the people that we meet every day, they are facing crisis. But there is a pathway to miracles. And it doesn't matter what's going on in your world. Everybody is fighting a battle. You may need a miracle in your family. You may need a miracle in your finances. You may need a miracle in your body. You may need a miracle for one of your children, but no matter what the need you have is, God is a God of miracles. The story of Naaman is one of the greatest stories in the Bible, and it contains three ingredients that are necessary for every miracle. I'm reading from the King James Version today. You'll probably see it on the screen there in King James, but I'm reading the New King James, 2 Kings 5 and 1. It says, "Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, 'If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy.'" And so the king there in Syria, he sends Naaman with gifts to the king of Israel. 2 Kings 5 and 6. "Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, 'Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy.'" So the king, of course, he knows he can't heal anybody, but he knows as a prophet of God, a man of God named Elisha, and all types of miracles are following his ministry. So he sends Naaman to Elisha, the prophet of God. 2 Kings 5 and 9. 2 Kings 5 and 9. "Then Naaman went with his horses and his chariot. He stood before the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, 'Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean.' But Naaman became furious, and he went away. And he said, 'Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy.'" So Naaman, he was angry, he was wroth, he had a haughty spirit, he got in his chariot and he rode away. Look at 2 Kings 5:13. "And his servant came near and spoke to him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean?' So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him and said, 'Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant.' But he said, 'As the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive nothing.' And he urged him to take it, but he refused." Now, Elisha, the man of God, he refused his gifts because the miracles of God cannot be bought. Amen. But the servant Gehazi, he went out and he found Naaman. He went after him. Look at 2 Kings 5 and 20. "But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, 'Look, my master has spared Naaman this Syrian while not taking from his hand what he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take something from him.' Gehazi followed after Naaman. He sees him and Naaman stops his chariot and asks, 'Is it well?' And Gehazi, he lies. 2 Kings 5:22. And he said, 'All is well. My master has sent me, saying, indeed, just now, two young men, sons of the prophet, have come to me from the mountains of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and 2 changes of garment.' So Naaman said, 'Please take 2 talents And he urged him, bound 2 talents of silver in the bag with 2 changes of raiment, and handed them to 2 of his servants, and they carried them on ahead of him. Verse 25, now when he came in and stood before his master, Elisha said, where did you go, Gehazi? And he said, your servant did not go anywhere. Then he said to him, did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? Is it time to receive money and to receive clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male and female servants? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever. And he went out from his presence, leprous as white as snow. We're talking about the pathway to miracles, the do's and the don'ts of how to receive a miracle from God. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for Jessica and the update she's given us on the work they're doing there in Africa. Thank you so much for the songs that have been sung, for your presence, for your miracle working power. Now, Master, I ask you to anoint these lips of clay. Let me preach your word with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Give us a listening ear, O God. Your word is living and powerful. Lord, remove the veil from people's eyes. Let them see the goodness and the miracle-working power of God as I preach the everlasting gospel. And everyone said in Jesus' name, amen. We all need miracles. And we need to realize that God is a God of miracles. Some people say, the days of miracles are over. There's never been a day of miracles. There is a God of miracles. Hallelujah. And I want to talk to you about 3 things today that will activate the miracle-working power of God in your life. First of all, I want to talk about miracles and money. I like to talk about seed time, harvest time, but I'm just trying to get God's blessings to you. But I want to talk to you about miracles and money. Notice that money is mentioned in this story several times. I believe that God is a God of abundance. I believe that God wants you to have money to pay your bills. I believe that God wants to bless you so that you will lack for nothing. Yet there is a danger when it comes to miracles and money. We've all seen preachers on TV and they say, send me this money and you'll get this blessing or that blessing. Send this amount of money and you'll be debt free next year. Hogwash. You cannot buy a miracle. Simon the sorcerer, he thought you could buy the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And the apostle Peter had to straighten him out. And Peter said, thy money perish with thee because thou hast thought the gifts of God may be purchased with money. Church, no one can buy a miracle. And you have to be careful when it comes to miracles and money. You see, the Syrian king, he thought you could buy the miracle with money. And so he sends the gold and the silver and all these provisions because he thought he could buy that miracle. He sent word, I want you to heal my servant Naaman. But it doesn't work that way. Because if you could buy a miracle, then the rich people would be poor, would be healed, and all the poor people, they would have to go lacking. But thank God, God has another plan. Amen. No, you don't have to have a penny. And you can be a billionaire. It doesn't matter to God. Amen. The mercy of God is free. And it's just that simple. And if anybody tells you anything otherwise, they have moved outside of God's seed time, harvest time principle, because you cannot buy a miracle with money. Did you ever notice that after Naaman got healed, he said to Elisha, I want to give you some money. I want you to take this gift. I want you to take this gold. Oh, my friends, you got to be careful about mixing money with miracles. You don't buy the gifts of God, for the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, and his righteousness to the children's children. He's a good God. He's a great God. He's a loving God. He's a God that said, I'll supply all you need according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus, if you'll only obey my word. Hallelujah. It's not wrong to give. We should pay our tithes. We preach that. We teach that. We should give offerings. But we got to be mighty careful that we don't mix money and miracles. Elisha said, no. And Naaman urged him to take it. But Elisha said, I refuse. But Gehazi, his servant, he's standing there in the midst of this miracle. He sees the hand of God on Elisha, and he's the most guilty of all in this story. Elisha had done twice the miracles of Elijah, his predecessor. And Gehazi, he had had the thrill of standing in the midst of this miracle ministry. Yet so little of it had rubbed off on him. So little of it had soaked into him. He had wicked thoughts, and he said, Naaman is rich, and I've got to run after him, and I've got to take some money from him. And he ran after him, and he caught up with him, and Naaman gave him all that money and all that stuff. And he came back, and he hid it. And he didn't think that anyone had seen him. And he went in, and he stood before the man of God, the prophet Elisha. You see, when you start getting your mind on money, 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 and more money, that will lead you to lying and to other sins. See, we don't need to get mixed up with anything that grieves the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can't buy miracles. You cannot buy God's favor. You cannot buy God's healing power. You cannot buy God's blessing. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. God saves souls. Jesus saves. Jesus heals. Jesus delivers. Jesus provides. Jesus said, I can save you from the guttermost to the uttermost. That's my testimony right there. He had to reach way down in the cesspools of sin and iniquity. He walked around some good folk to get to me. Some people with a PhD, some doctors and some lawyers, some fine educated people in the community. And he reached way over in the cesspool of sin and iniquity, and he laid his hand upon me. He said, I choose you. I don't know why he chose me, but I'm so glad he did. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that God chose you? Aren't you glad, praise God, that that nail-scarred hand reached down one day and touched you, and you came out of darkness into the marvelous light. Go on and praise him for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Hallelujah. I feel a preach coming on. Glory to the Lamb. So Gehazi took the money and the stuff, and he hid it, and he went and stood before Elisha. And he said, where have you been, Gehazi? He said, I didn't go anywhere. Lies, lies, and more lies. And Elisha said, did not my spirit go with you? When Naaman turned from the chariot to meet Gehazi, Elisha saw it all by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Oh, we need the gifts of the Spirit in operation today. God can give you a word of wisdom. He can show you the future. I've seen my little baby that's 32 years of age. I saw her before I ever married my wife. I've seen cancer die. I've seen God heal people. God can show you the future. I've seen stuff show up, and I told my wife, I said, it's done. I've got it. Hallelujah. God showed it to me. It hadn't even manifested itself. But faith calls the things that be not as though they were. And God is a God of miracles, and you can plug into God, and you can get your miracle if you'll follow the these three principles that I'm preaching today. Hallelujah. And Elisha said, now Naaman has been healed of his leprosy. He saw it all. He said, but because of your disobedience, the devil's power is going to come on you, and you're going to be a leper for the rest of your days. See, God's miracles are free. And we don't need to take money, and we don't need to do anything that will grieve the Holy Ghost. Folks, we got to be careful. And you got to hear good sound doctrine, good preaching, amen, when it comes to this subject. Because there are people that are prostituting the gospel. But because there are people that have false $20 bills, it doesn't mean I'm going to take the good $20 bill that's in my pocket and I'm going to throw them out. No. And I'm going to preach the word of God. I'm going to rightly divide it. And I'm going to stand back and watch the God of gods do miracles. Hallelujah. Go on, praise God. Because I'm looking at miracles right now. God saved you. That's the greatest miracle of all. Glory to God. And we got to be careful. We don't need to be a part of anything that tries to buy the favor of God. Sure, God wants to bless you financially. Sure, God wants you to be able to pay your bills. Sure, he wants you to have a job where you can provide for your family. We pray for people around here all the time, and God gives them jobs, good jobs with benefits. Hallelujah. And his benefits are out of this world. Woo! We get all of that in heaven too. But if you had all the money in the world, you could not buy a miracle from God. And it's just that simple. The second thing that I want to talk to you about are thoughts and attitudes and miracles. Thoughts and attitudes and miracles. Naaman said, I thought I thought. He said, I thought the prophet would come out and heal me. You see, many people, they miss a miracle simply because the devil has locked up their thinking. One thought, just one thought that you can have, it can bind your mind and keep you from receiving a miracle from God. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So when you get your thinking straight, then you can get your miracle. I tell people, if I can get your thinking straight, praise God, I can get you through the veil, and I can get you into God's presence, and I can get you healed if I can only get your thinking straight. I told someone recently, they were lying on the bed of affliction, and I said, if you just get up, praise God, if you would just start doing something, if you start waiting for those people to come and exercise your limbs, guess what? You could exercise them yourself right there in the bed. I busted this leg up, got cut all up in the Marine Corps, and they took me to physical therapy for 6 months, but every evening I pumped that leg. I pumped the steel. And guess what? That left leg is stronger than my right leg now. And I'm still dancing. They were going to take my kneecap out. But I said, no, I'll exercise. I'll build it up. And I did, praise God. And I got all of it. And I can still dance. And I can still praise God. And I can praise Him even more. Hallelujah. Because of what He's done for me. Glory to God. Thoughts and miracles. Naaman said, I thought, first of all, he would come out of the house. He had it all figured out. I thought he would come out and wave his hand over the place. I thought he would call on the name of the Lord his God. I thought then I would be healed. He had it all figured out. He had figured out what God had to do in order to heal him. And many people today, they're claiming the healing power of God, but they're always giving God orders every time they pray. And they're telling God to do it. My advice to you is let God be God. He's a good God. And God has a time. And God has a season. And God has a reason for whatever you're going through. He said, I'll work it all to your good. Hallelujah. Pop Romans 8:28 up. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. Pop it up there. Hallelujah. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. You want to know what that really means? Say it backwards. To those that are living according to His purpose and who are called, we know that all things will work together for their good. Everybody that tries to claim that they're not living the life they should live, and they can't put a claim on that. But if you're living according to God's purpose, and if you're living according to God's will, Romans 8:28 belongs to you. I thought he had it all figured out. Some people have thoughts in their mind. It's not God's will to heal them. Ever met anybody like that? It's not God's will to give me the miracle. It's not God's will to protect my loved one. Yes, it is. It is God's will. He's a good God. Just read the book. The book is full of the miracle working power of God. Just get into the book so your faith can be activated by the Holy Ghost. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. Read it. Come hear good Holy Ghost anointed preaching. Let the Word of God split soul and spirit. Get through your brain, drop down into your spirit. And all of a sudden you just step into your miracle. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. He's a good God. He's a miracle working God. You got to get those thoughts and the attitudes out of your mind. Now notice Naaman thought, but look, I want you to look at his attitude. He was filled with anger. Anger was keeping Naaman from his miracle. And he got mad, and he got angry, and he went away. But he went away from what? He went away from his miracle. He was angry, and you would be surprised at how many people have stored up anger in them. Angry at your mother. Angry at your father. Angry at your children. Angry at your relatives. Angry at your job. Angry at the world. And right there with that rage inside of Naaman, that was keeping him from his miracle. Did you know that your emotions and that your attitudes can keep you from having the touch of God on your life? Jealousy and greed and envy and resentment, they keep you from the blessings of God. Search me, O God. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me, O God. Remove it and lead me in the way everlasting. I have to pray that all the time. I pray it because I want to make sure there's nothing that contaminates the flow of God from my spirit man to the throne of God's glory. Hallelujah. Search yourself. Search your heart. Make sure it's clean. Make sure your thoughts are pure and holy. He said, be ye holy as I am holy. He said, get a sanctified spirit. Get rid of all that resentment and rage. So many people are filled with resentment and envy, and it holds them in bondage. And it's making you sick in your body. And you can't seem to feel the touch of God. And you can't get healing into your life. And I need to tell you this. You need to get your thoughts and your attitudes in line with the Word of God. Amen. And then there's offense and unforgiveness. I preached a sermon. Don't go there, the place of offense. You'll be surprised at the people in the church that they are offended. He said this. She said that. They did this 20 years ago. I'm not going back there. Unforgiveness. There are millions of people who are held in bondage, harboring unforgiveness in their heart. They will not forgive. When I used to preach as an evangelist, they would come in my prayer line, and the Holy Ghost would tell me, I can't heal them. They won't forgive. He'll give you a word when you're dealing with people like that. He'll let you know. They said, I will not forgive. No, they say, I will never forgive. And they hold that grudge. Listen, brothers and sisters, the unforgiveness is the poison. The poison is not in the person who wrongs you. The poison is in you if you have unforgiveness. You are the container of the poison. And you need to awaken to that. And you need to get rid of that anger. And God's power will be available and can come into you. And then you can get your miracle. This is a great story. The Bible says that when they told Naaman to go dip in the river, he turned away in rage and anger and jealousy and unforgiveness. They blocked the door to miracles. When you get rid of these things, that's half the battle right there. If I can just get that stuff out of people's heart, if I can just get them to repent and say, oh, God, take that away from me, that is half the battle in getting their miracles. Because your thoughts and your attitudes and your emotions, they have an awful lot to do with the flow of God's miracle working power. See, God wants you to have a miracle. People and people's needs, they are the most important thing to God. Amen. God is interested in people. He is not interested in denominations. He's not interested in my ministry. He's not interested in building something big, and we got to build it big, and we got to build it bright. I believe I got to do my best for the Lord. Amen. But God is not interested in buildings and finances and all that. He owns everything. Amen. God is interested in people. The resources are in the harvest, and we can get the people saved. Praise God. God's miracle working power will begin to flow in their life. Have you ever experienced that? But since you come into Jesus, go on and praise him. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to God. God wants people to have a miracle. They're the most important thing to God of all. God is interested in people. Look at 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. See, the eyes of the Lord, they're running throughout the whole earth. They're looking and they are searching for people. What kind of people? People who have turned their hearts perfectly toward God. God does not look at the denominational level. He does not look at heathen or Christian. God doesn't look at Muslim or Hindu. He just looks for people who are hungry for his mercy, his miracle working power, and the salvation that comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is salvation in none other name given among men under heaven whereby you must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Don't try to go your way. There's a way that seemeth right unto man. We got all kind of false gospels and false religion out there, but the end there thereof, there's a way that seemeth right unto man. The end thereof is the way of destruction. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the sanctifier. Jesus is the Holy Ghost baptizer. Jesus is the deliverer. Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the miracle worker. And he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Go on, praise him, because you had an encounter with the true and the living God, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He's alive, and you know he's alive. Hallelujah. Looking for people. God is looking for people whose hearts are turned perfectly toward him. But if you got envy and jealousy and anger and unforgiveness and all that stored up, your heart cannot be turned perfectly toward God. When one of your children disobeys you, they don't run to you. They run away and they hide. And sometimes you have to go looking for them. Amen? I had to go looking for mine. Sometimes I had to put the Board of Education to the seat of understanding, too. Oh, Daddy, we have to talk about this. I said, yeah, I'm going to talk about it because I'm a little angry right now. Once I get my inside straight, we're going to talk about it. They come back a few days later. Daddy, have you decided what you're going to do yet? I said, yeah, let's talk about it. And many times, because I love them, I would talk about it, and they say, forgive me, Dad, I won't do it again. I got your word on. And they spared themselves from a lot of whippings, beatings. My daddy whippeth me, and sometimes the father had to whippeth us, too. But you can spare yourself from that stuff by just, you know, love and obedience. Many times I had to go find mine. And when you do wrong, when we don't forgive, when we're angry and our thoughts are wrong, we don't run to God. We run away from God. I can't tell you the people that don't come back to church. I messed up. I did something and I just don't want to come back. I said, why not? Don't run from God. Run to God. He loves you. You're his child. Hallelujah. But God is searching for people who will say, I lay it all down. I lay my resentment down. I lay down my resistance to God. I'm not going to plead my case, God. I'm just going to plead guilty. Oh, God, have mercy on me. Jesus, come into my heart. Wash me, cleanse me, save me. Wash me, Lord Jesus, in your blood. Oh, God, I lay down all of my sin. And I let your miracle-working power flow into my life. That's how you approach God right there. Hallelujah. See, God is good. And he's good all the time. That's the greatest thing I ever found out about God, that God loves me. Amen. Third thing that I want to talk about is obedience and miracles. Obedience and miracles. Samaria was the nation that was whipping everybody. And Naaman, he was a national hero. He was a military leader who had won many great battles. And when he marched across Israel, he captured a little girl and he made her a servant to his wife. And when she saw Naaman was a leper, her heart went out to him. And she said, I wish that my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. This little girl, she could have been angry. She could have been furious, but her heart was filled with love and with compassion when she saw the state of Naaman. And she said, I wish my Lord was in Samaria, for there's a prophet there who could heal him. You may be wondering, well, why am I in this situation? Why has this happened to me? What's going on, oh God? But I want to tell you something. Wherever you are, no matter what you're going through, God can use you. And that little girl held captive in a foreign land, she obeyed God and she gave her testimony. She said, I would to God that Naaman knew about the power of God that's over there with the prophet Elijah. He doesn't have to die an early death. He doesn't have to die of leprosy. He can get healed. Get to where the power of God is. Get to where the anointing is. Get to where the miracle working power of God. Get to where the miracles and signs and wonders are following the preaching of the word. Don't sit in a dead church. If you're in a dead church, praise God. Come out here. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Glory to God. We know he's alive. Come on, let's give Jesus a standing ovation. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you're alive. You've transformed my life. Glory to God. I'm here to declare to you today that you don't have to die in an early age. You don't have to live in misery. Amen. You can get a miracle from God. You don't have to live with fear and anxiety in your heart. You can get a miracle from God. You don't have to die and go to hell. You can get saved. You can get the greatest miracle of all from God. That little girl gave her testimony, and Naaman got a miracle. And that tells me that no matter where you are, say something about Jesus. Tell others what Jesus has done for you. Oh, I love to go out and witness. It just puts so much joy down in my heart. I love to pass out my business cards and sit in a restaurant, leave a nice tip and leave my card right there on top of it. Hallelujah. Let people know you're a Christian. Let it radiate out of you. Let it shine forth out of your life. Your testimony means something. Amen. Tell others what Jesus has done for you. Your testimony may be the first step in someone else's miracle. Notice her obedience. And then I want you to notice Elisha's obedience. He had heard from God. And he told Naaman exactly what God had said. Go dip in that muddy river. It was 40 to 60 miles to that river. Go look at the map, Samaria. Look at the river. And God knew that Naaman did not like that water. He said, oh, the rivers in Samaria, they are so much cleaner, so much purer. God knew that Naaman was full of pride, full of arrogance, and he had a haughty spirit. And so God told him to do something he did not want to do. And God may be telling you to do something today that you don't want to do. He may say, go tell your wife you're sorry. Oh, God, surely there's a better way. Oh, God, surely there's another way. He may say, go pay those bills. Pay your honest debt. Amen. Obedience. Obedience is the key to your miracle. We want God to say, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But how about get things right with your neighbor? How about getting things right with your family? How about telling your family about Jesus? Obedience and miracles. Amen. So God told Elisha, go tell him to jump in that river that he doesn't like. God made Naaman go dip in that river. But it wasn't about the river. It was all about obeying God and getting his heart right. That was the key that unlocked Naaman's miracle. Obedience. And he went and he plunged into that yellow, muddy, filthy, dirty water. The waters of the River of Jordan. And he went and he plunged in. He went all the way under and he came up. He went down and he came up. Down and up. Down and up. And he lost all his pride. He lost all his anger. He lost all his arrogance, and he learned total submission to the Most High God. And when he came up the seventh time, he was healed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I'm sure there is a key to your miracle. If you're listening by live stream, if you're watching by Facebook Live, I am sure there is a key to your miracle. And only you and God know what it is. For some people, it's pride and arrogance. For others, it may be money. For someone else, it may be unforgiveness. It may be something else in your life that God wants to deal with you specifically about. But the key to your miracle is obedience. Amen. The young girl, she obeyed God. The prophet Elisha, he obeyed God. And when Naaman obeyed God, he got his miracle. You see, there is a pathway to miracles. Let us stand. Hallelujah. You may be here today. You may never have been saved. You may have a problem. There may be something that you want from God you have never gotten. And God has spoken to you today. And you need to come to this altar. And you need to just be transparent with God and say, God, I heard your word today. It was me, Lord, that you were talking to. And I've searched my heart. See, I have to do it all the time. I'm not ashamed to get down at this altar because I want God's miracle flow in my life. I want it in my life so it can flow to you. And if the preacher's got contaminated batteries, guess what? You can't get a thing from him. Amen. You might get something, but you won't get the miracle working power of God. Brother, hallelujah. Let's come to the altar. I landed this thing early to give you plenty of time. He touched me. He touched me. Glory. I need another touch, Lord.
Joy that floods my soul.
Everybody come to the altar. The miracle is waiting for you. Naaman had to drive 40 to 60 miles to get to that muddy Jordan. He had to come and say, I need help, God. Come on in tight so everybody can get in. Come on in real close. Hallelujah. Everybody, come on into the altar. If you can get to the altar, make that step of faith.
Touch me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that blood.
Just talk to God. I'm going to come by as the Lord leads me, and I'm going to anoint you.
Something happened.
As the Lord leads, I will minister.
I know.
You're not saved today. You've never been born again. If you're watching by live stream or Facebook Live, I want to tell you, God loves you. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave heaven's best because his eyes are searching for people. He's searching for hurting people. And he said, if you will believe that he gave his Son, that his Son came to this earth, that he went to an old rugged cross as your sin substitute, and he gave his life, poured out his blood, you'll call upon the name of Jesus. You can be saved. Say, Jesus, I believe thou, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. I believe you died on that cross. I believe you rose again the third day. I believe you'll save me, Lord. Wash me in your blood. Cleanse me from my sin. Oh, save me, God, I pray. I want to experience salvation. If you prayed that prayer, receive Jesus and say, thank you, Lord. I'm saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Worship him, church. Glory.
Something happened, and now